141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on another dramatic and controversial weekend in Scottish football. The gap stays at 9 points again after Celtic beat Hibs and Rangers won at Motherwell. Well, there were no big winners at the bottom, but Aberdeen beating Hearts could be huge in the battle for third, and it seems like nearly every single team in the league was unhappy with referees and or VAR at the weekend. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me to go over it all is Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna.
You are spot on, Gordon, because this was the weekend when the refs went to VAR for Premiership managers. Lee Johnson raging over decisions as Hibs lost at Celtic Park. Stuart Kettlewell reacting with fury as Motherwell lost to Rangers. Derek McInnes couldn't believe Kelly didn't get a penalty for Andy Considine's handball. And Dundee United were so incensed with the penalty awarded to St Mirren, they've now written to the SFA to demand a crisis summit. In fact, the only dodgy call VAR didn't get involved in over the weekend was when Hugh Keevan said Celtic wouldn't get a winner.
Well, it's as we were in terms of points at the top of the league again, because Rangers and Celtic are just at it at the moment, and winning against all comers. I don't want to take too much more time on this because I want you to get right down to the phone calls to get the VAR conversation started, because it was a particularly colourful weekend in that regard.
I think people who listen regularly will know I'm consistent. I like at some point to talk about, you know, which players were good and which players were bad, and team performances and all that sort of stuff. And every night I just feel like I'm banging my head against a brick wall, Roger Hanna. I think it's looking less and less likely tonight.
Never happened. Just forget it. It's never going to happen. We're just going to talk about the VAR, the referees, the controversy, the dodgy decisions, and the new world. We had Robbie Nielsen introducing decapitation to the lexicon of Scottish football the other week. Now we have calibration.
Absolutely right. 01419511025. Indulge me. Come on, keep a sort of young but getting older man happy. We can talk about football at some point. Surely, surely.
No.
We can manage it between now and 8 o'clock. But 01419511025. That is the number you need. So get in touch and let us know what you took away from the weekend. Roger Hanna, what was your result of the weekend to set the tone?
Result of the weekend, I'm going to dip out of the top flight. What about Queen's Park coming from behind to beat Inverness Cali Thistle on a day when Dundee and Partick Thistle carved up a 0-0 draw to damage each other's title claims? Owen Coyle, having brought Queen's Park up into the Championship via the playoffs, might just take them into the Premiership directly, automatically. And that win, Stephen Eze's winner, 2-1, that could be one of the most important goals in the modern era of Queen's Park football.
He's a student of the game. You must have something top flight for me, Kenny Miller.
Absolutely. I'm going to go Barry Robson's Aberdeen, 3-0 against Hearts, his third straight win, and now hot on the heels of Hearts and Hibs. Well, ahead of Hibs now, but hot on Hearts' heel for third spot. Big result, big performance, third win in a row.
Absolutely. Goal of the weekend, some good choices, I must admit. I was enjoying the list. What have you picked on top?
I've gone for Nicky Devlin, actually. He was in the news last week, David Martindale, basically conceding defeat in his hopes of keeping the Livingston captain at the club next season. And a terrific winner up from right back. It was a weekend for the right backs. James Tavernier getting that free kick against Motherwell. But I think Nicky Devlin probably just wins it.
Okay, Kenny.
A lot of good strikes, like Roger says. I've got Dre Wright, I've got Devlin down, Haksabanovic with another similar finish to bend it into that corner coming off the left. You've got another Tavernier free kick, but I'm going to go for my ex-international teammate Stephen Fletcher. He flicks the ball on, he stays alive, he moves towards it, the touch with his right foot, and then the next step, half volleying it with his left foot into the bottom corner. A wonderful, classy finish for Stephen Fletcher.
Not bad choices at all. Right, let's get into the nitty gritty of it. What was your howler of the weekend?
I'm going to jump in, and I'm going to go referees and VAR in general,
just
across the board.
Approach, okay.
And I know you can't tar everybody with the same brush, I get it, but there was that much controversy in numerous games. All of it probably no fair, but we'll get into it, I'm sure, over the course of the next 2 hours.
I can say it quite happily because he's not here again. But Andy Halliday's Hearts, 4 defeats in 5, 3-0 down at Aberdeen at half time. It's not a very good run of form for a side who once looked nailed on for third place. Now there must be question marks creeping into that, Gordon.
Howler, what have we got left? Top man, top performer, who's the star of the show from the weekend?
Who's the star of the show for the weekend? I'm going to go for O, I think. Off the bench, finally broke the resistance of a stubborn 10-man Hibs, showed off abs not dissimilar to my own, Gordon, and of course managed to...
It's quieten, a bit early for that type of comedy, is it not?
Quieten down Hugh Keevans, who when the goal went in simply said, "Oh."
Well, I'm going to go for Duke. I mean, normally results and the performances kind of stay in. Duke's been outstanding all season. Two massive goals early in the game on Saturday. He's 12th and 13th of the season in the league. Yep, strong, big player up there up front with Miofsky.
Changed days as well, isn't it? Remember the old days? We used to have Millers and Boyds and Fergusons and McFaddens. Now we've got Duke and O.
Absolutely right. 01419511025. That is the number you need. So get in touch and let us know what is on your mind. Go on then, just briefly, right? 30 seconds each. Talk to me about the football this weekend. Sum that all up before we get into what I know people are going to want to whinge about.
Good games the weekend. 11 out of 12 teams in the top flight scoring goals. Started with Rangers in that topsy-turvy game at Fir Park. Plenty of excitement. Celtic huffed and puffed for a wee while, but got the job done. Still 9 points clear. As Kenny said, big win for Aberdeen against Hearts. And if there wasn't nerves, tension and anxiety at the bottom of the Premiership before the weekend, there sure is now, because none of them won.
Yep, and I still think now it'll be a three horse race at the bottom. I now think it could be a three horse race for third now. Like Roger says, Hearts have just been clawed back a little bit by a poor run of form. Big result for Livingston and Davy Martindale as well, getting Bursell back into the top six, a position I do think they'll get at the end of the season. Maybe St Mirren will just miss out for me. So yeah, a big weekend going, and obviously now we've got international break in 2 weeks to wait for the next round of fixtures.
01419511025. Let's go. James is first up tonight. What's your point, James?
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello.
Just a point about the VAR. It's not working, really, is it? It's causing as many arguments as it's solving, and it's costing a fortune. And you know, every week you're getting these arguments about, you know, that this was wrong, and I think it's wrong, and the lines weren't straight. You're getting all this. We've survived without it for over 100 years. I think we could manage maybe another season or two yet to get the technology really right, that it can't, it's not, you know, that it's not going to fail. But to be honest with you, I would draw a line under it and just say, let's go back to the way we were before and leave the referees and their assistants to make the mistakes or whatever, to get it right.
Couple of things there, Roger, but this is the problem. It's all right saying that now. VAR is here because people across the globe, remember, not just here, couldn't accept mistakes. That is essentially it in a nutshell. That's why we've got it.
Yeah.
So, and they came up with something that was meant to reduce mistakes. Some people seem to have it in their head that it was going to eradicate mistakes, which it obviously was never going to. So, the world football is not just going to rip this up now.
No, world football isn't going to rip it up. The technology itself is fine. I think you need to put your trust that the lines are calibrated properly and that the offside decisions that are taken are the correct offside decisions. The other problems you have with VAR are nothing to do with technology. They're to do with the implementation of the system by human beings, i.e. the refs who aren't actually on the pitch. And that's where a lot of the issues came. And one of the bugbears, and I'm sure James will agree with this, one of the bugbears is a lack of communication to the supporters on the ground and the supporters watching and listening at home. You know, I'll give you an example. Kilmarnock against St Johnstone at the weekend. First of all, Kelly have a goal disallowed. Nobody in the stadium knows why. Turns out Kyle Vassell's handled the ball and it's gone into the net.
Right decision, though.
Correct.
As picked up by
correct, VAR. Correct decision. But it baffles a lot of the people there because they don't know what's going on. And then Andy Considine, I should say, who's about to sign for the Caledonia Gladiators basketball team with a look at his performance at the weekend, has got away with one. But it's gone to VAR. Everybody can see it's a handball, so why is it not given? Could there have been a foul in the box before Andy Considine handled the ball? It's perfectly plausible, but there's no communication and nobody knows. Mm.
I think, Kenny, there are obviously loads of problems, right? and loads of things to disagree with, but it does feel appropriate to sort of not broad brush everything. Because James, for instance, said there, you know, let's just leave it a couple of years until that, you know, we get the technology and it doesn't fail. The technology isn't failing. What you can say is failing, if you want, is that the referees are not making decisions that you agree with, or that I agree with, or that James agrees with. But by and large, the technology is not really failing. In fact, and by the way, it will one day, and it does. It's happened in the English Premier League. We've seen 40-minute delays to Leeds against Arsenal because the electricity had gone off or whatever, and VAR wasn't working. So the technology will fail, but actually, miraculously, it's not really happened that often up here. What is happening is bad decisions have been made.
Bad decisions are getting made. Again, one thing is clear. Again, whether you agree or it doesn't look like it on your TV, offside is offside. That is it. Whether it's a toenail or whether it's whatever it is, offside's offside. So all the, again, the noise surrounding a couple of the goals at the weekend, again, it's immaterial. They're offside or you're not offside. It's as simple as that. Where the problems arise, like Roger and you and yourself, Gordon, say, it's the interpretation of laws. It's human error or human beings thinking this is one way and it's potentially another. Personally, I think the two sending offs were wrong. Again, you've got other referees that come out on another platform saying, no, they're right, it's a second yellow, which then obviously leads to the red. I don't think that Slattery was a red card. I don't think that Juan was a red card. That is referees, that is human beings looking at that and disagreeing with that decision. It's not the technology failing. The technology is there for these referees to look at, to try and maybe help out their mate that's on the pitch who might not have seen something. So it's getting used properly. Again, I'll go back to it. Offside's offside.
I mean, James, you're a Celtic fan, so with your Celtic and Hibs game hat on, what did you make of those decisions, for instance? There was quite a few in there, wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, the penalty that were Hatsivanovic, when I was at Ayabada, kicked the ground, you know, and the referee was quite a wee bit away, and he thought it was a penalty, and he gave a penalty, and then it was reviewed, and they got it right. And really, Celtic don't want to win any games by getting dodgy decisions. You know, because they're capable of winning it without the dodgy decisions. So, but I thought it was fine. But there was still one or two things that they didn't get right. And it's you know, people still argue after games. Now you'd have thought, well, that'll be then, because the VAR will show the pictures. They've got it right. They're not getting it right all the time.
Do you think Hibs were unlucky to go down to 10 men, or was that the right call?
It's hard to judge. I only saw it on the telly, so it's quite hard to judge. Just wasn't on the telly, you know. If you're at the game, you see it better. A couple of my pals that were at the game, they said that, you know, it's 50-50. You know, it could have gone either way.
Quite a few in there. I mean, Lee Johnson, furious. Pick your way through them. What order did they come in? I can't even remember. You take it away, Roger Hannah.
I thought the penalty awarded against Carl Starfelt for his tug on Paul Hanlon was a penalty. What will infuriate a lot of Celtic fans is you quite often see those and they're not given, but by the letter of the law, it's a penalty. Likewise, later on in the game, when Hanlon fouled Cameron Carter-Vickers, I thought there was enough in that for a penalty to be given as well. The Eli Ewan second yellow, not for me. Not for me. I'm not even sure it was a foul in Celtic's way, but even if you want to give it as a foul for Celtic, certainly to me it's not a second yellow card. They did merit his first yellow, late challenge in Starfelt, and then the Abada one's just a mistake. His toes, you know, he's tripped over the turf, if you like, stumbled and gone down.
And look, I get, because there are nights like this that the refereeing standards probably deserve to take a bit of a doing, but at the same time, it is easy to forget the occasions where we did need VAR and it did kind of work. Because when you see Abada flying through at full speed and you see David Marshall flying out and you see Abada go down, you do think it's a penalty. But it's good that VAR was there, because you can see that he just about stubs his toe before David Marshall get there. So it works there, Kenny.
That's one of the situations, but where it's been worked, and it's the correct decision. You know, the handball that Vassell, it's a clear handball with a turnaround and it hits out of the goal.
And
it's
because
the correct
he
decision.
Scores it. It's just
absolutely
one of those. So what about the Starfelt penalty giveaway?
I get it. Again, now to the letter of the law, is a penalty. Very similar to the Morelos incident in Livingston a couple of weeks back. I don't think he's really going to get anywhere near the ball, but when the defender pulls it, and he does pull it pretty aggressively, you're opening yourself far. Now he's going to look at it, and you're probably going to get penalised for it. I thought the other one was, I mean, Roger saying it's enough for a penalty. He's suggesting that it wasn't as much as what happened to Hanlon, but for Starfield, the other end, there's no way it was. I thought it was very, very soft. Very soft. But when you're going to pull a jersey or someone's arm, you're now open because of VAR. It could get given, it could not get given. Is it clear and obvious if it's not given? Or, and,
I mean, he did give
know.
That one on the spot, didn't he, the referee? And Tibbs sending off as Lee Johnson got
harsh.
Right to be.
Very, yeah. very harsh. I even think the initial booking, it is a late challenge, but it's a striker's challenge. And
strikers and, union sticking well, together.
But the second one, I think there could be a pull on you, Anne, initially. And as he's fallen back, he raises his... Carter Vickers is, I mean, if you say he's endangering your opponent by your actions, Carter Vickers is the one that puts his head down there to be endangered, like to endanger himself. I thought it was a harsh red card.
Can you imagine what would have happened if I'd been against Fulham?
Which just tells you that everyone's having their issues, I think. I don't know if that makes you feel any better.
But listen, the SFA can be comfortable. The refs are getting on top of things just ahead of three Old Firm games before the end of the season.
And then, you know, we should know this by now, but in case we don't, this is not something we've dreamt up. This is just the way it works everywhere, because Eliu and second yellow card, a bit like Callum Slattery, if you want to debate that one. You know, nothing can be done about it. Can't go to VAR, no. That sort of thing. That's above our pay grade.
I think that's something that could be looked at, though. When something that leads to a red card, I think it's really, because when a decision's made like that, that is taking the team down to 10 minutes, that directly impacts the result of a game of football. I think it could be looked at, and again, that's the rules. It's not the application of a VAR or a referee. It's the rules. I think that could be looked at.
Let's bring in, thank James first of all, and bring in Mark. What have you got for us, Mark?
Good afternoon, or good evening, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good. How are you,
Mark?
Yeah, I'm well. My point's not about VAR. Me personally, I've got over it. We had referees making shocking decisions that didn't answer to any of them, and it's still going on even with VAR. So I've kind of moved on from that. My point is, Lee Johnson's got a cheek to complain about anything, considering him and his backroom staff, the tactics they try to implement at Parkhead at the weekend. I think it was very unprofessional, and I think it's a shocking indictment that this is where other clubs are thinking, off the field, what can we do to upset Celtic to try maybe even get a draw on the field? I just thought that was embarrassing. Lee Johnson smiled about it, and...
What in particular, Mark, for anyone who doesn't know what you're on about?
The throwing the balls onto the pitch. That's what he got the card for.
Ah, right.
And it wasn't just him, there was a couple of them. And it's just wasting time. Once you're on the pitch, fair enough, it's anything to win that game within reason. But off the pitch, tactics like that, it was embarrassing. And he shouldn't have come out and started complaining about the referees' shocking decisions if that's what he's doing on the touchline.
I must admit, Roger, that is news to me. I know I've seen some dugouts do it before. I mean, I wouldn't name names, but in unrelated news, Marvin Bartley's here on Wednesday. If you want to listen in then. I didn't know that. But is that gamesmanship? Is it gone too far?
I think it's gamesmanship. Listen, Lee Johnson listed a very defensive team at the start. It was Eli Ewan up top in his own, and that was about it. In the previous two games, Celtic had taken 10 goals off Hibs, 6-1 at Celtic Park, 4-0 at Easter Road. The previous game for Hibs before coming to Celtic Park was a 4-1 at home to Rangers. So he was clearly just trying to park the bus once it had arrived from Leith. It ended up not working for him. And I thought, you know, we've got a goal of the week and a howler of the week. What we don't have is a put-down of the week. If we did have a put-down of the week, it would have belonged to Ange Postecoglou, because when he was asked about Lee Johnson's post-match criticism of the officials, he said, "I know, mate, I've had to listen to it for the last 100 minutes.
I suppose, Mark, just to sort of test your anger and make sure we're being completely fair and honest about this, if it's a Champions League game and Celtic are up against it and John Kennedy chucks a ball on to cause a bit of mischief, are you bothered or do you quite like it?
I honestly, with the history of my club, I would be embarrassed. I wouldn't want to see Celtic doing that against Barcelona in the Champions League. Or when you're on that park, yeah, run it into the corner. Waste time when you're on the park. But for management and backroom stuff, where does it stop? Is that the start of the new tactics now to try beat Celtic and maybe Rangers once they start coming up to the top again?
Yeah, don't get me wrong, Kenny, you obviously shouldn't do it. I mean, I get that, it just depends how
you know what
how far up your priority list is.
I don't know what game it was at. I think it was a game down south where someone went on a counter attack and it was a coach or an assistant that kicked the ball on the pitch to, like, it's a dirty tactic for me.
Yeah.
A real dirty, again, that in that particular scenario, it was a real dirty tactic. If it's the ball's out and then it's a throwing the ball on when the ball's kind of dead and things, but in game, in play, I don't know exactly, Mark, what the exact scenario was, but if it was an in game thing and there was something and the ball was thrown on to stop a situation for Celtic to benefit, then I don't like it at all. So I've got to agree with Mark.
We are up and running. 01419511025. That's a little bit on Celtic Park, but yet you probably disagree with some of the stuff you've heard. So get those calls in. We've not even scratched the surface of Firth Park yet, or Rugby Park, or Tannadice. You catch my drift. So 01419511025. Come on down.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025, and we're trying our best to go over all the talking points from the weekend. Might need to extend the show till midnight, and if you think we've missed one, put us in our place. That's the point. 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. We've said a little bit about the game at Celtic Park. If you want to keep going with that, you can do. We've not mentioned some of the big talking points from Firth Park yet. I think Kenny did show his hand on a couple. And listen, the floor is yours, because Kilmarnock are incensed. Was it St Mirren the other way around? Dundee United were incensed at the penalty. There was a lot going on. So 01419511025, that is the number you need. And like I say, you can tweet as well at Clyde SSB. I think we're about to speak to John on the line. Indeed we are. John is in Knightswood. How are you, John?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, good stuff.
Good man. What's your point for us?
It's not about the VAR. I think we need to start training these people up who are watching the VAR, because there's just so many bad decisions. As Kenny said, our side's our side. Celtic got a penalty against us for Starfelt, which I thought was bang on. The Hibs got a man sent off, which I thought was really rubbish. Celtic also got a penalty and then chopped off, and it was quite rightly chopped off. But as I said, the consistency's no there.
You and I know this, Roger, because we've duelled on this before. I think the word consistency is just troublesome, because like sometimes you are comparing two incidents that are entirely different, and then even when you think you're comparing two incidents that are similar, you're still talking about Kenny's set of eyes versus your set of eyes. I don't know what consistency means there on the stuff that it's supposed to be open to interpretation.
I'll give you a couple of examples just to back up what you're saying, Gordon. One is the shirt pull. You look at it now, I agree with John. I think it is a penalty. I've already said that, and I said it on Saturday as well. Kenny likened it to the one by James Penrice on Alfredo Morelos that VAR gave as a penalty at Livingston a couple of months ago, a few weeks back. But equally, you do see a lot of shirt pulls in the box that are just left go. You then look at handball. There's Andrew Considine. Handball, clear as you like, in the box, come Alex and Johnson, not given. And yet so many handballs, rightly or wrongly, are given.
Yeah, but this would be the thing, isn't it? Because how many of them can you honestly say are exact? Well, this is a bad example, because you all think that Considine should have been given. But are there many that are exactly like Considine's? That one seems extremely obvious. And this maybe goes back to something you said, because John is John is actually not got such a problem with VAR, but more the refs, the people who are making the decisions. Do we need to? Is it ones like the Considine one that you really could be doing with an explanation? I know this won't be popular right on this show. I know it won't. But even although you think there were mistakes made at Celtic's game and maybe at Firth Park, on the face of it, the Considine one would fall into the more inexplicable bracket.
Yeah,
whereas actually those other ones are probably not.
As we said at the top of the show, Gordon, there could be a perfectly logical explanation for it. Maybe the VAR has spotted a foul in the build-up to this play before the handball. Therefore, that negates the handball.
But we either need to communicate that, or if that's not the case, then how on earth have you reached that decision?
We live in Scotland, and maybe even if they had said that was the explanation, not everybody's going to accept it.
No.
But at least we would know the explanation. Mm. Nobody knows why that wasn't given as a penalty. You're in Kilmarnock's position, down near the bottom of the Premiership, that's very hard to take.
So you think, John, it's more about, so what do we do about that, John? How do we make these people make better decisions. So you actually don't think, you know, VAR itself is this big evil. You just think that people are interpreting things wrong.
Exactly, that's what it is. And I said, and that's what Roger says. It's the fact that there's no explanation to why the decisions are given. And it leaves everybody in like a conundrum. And it's, that's, if they maybe explained why that decision was reached, then maybe we could understand a bit more. You know, and then the whole thing could be maybe understood a lot more.
Now, if that's the case, Kenny, why does it seem so much... Is a lot of this because there was an expectation that things were going to be better than they are? Is that what it is? Because what we've already covered, you can't deny, you can argue over the percentage, VR is clearly helping in some instances. Of course it is, right? It obviously is. But it doesn't feel like it is. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, people would have you believe that we're getting more decisions wrong than we did last year, which is impossible. That can't be the case when you think about offsides. We spoke about Abada, you know, various others. Did we expect too much from it?
I think we did. See, the minute when I went to Australia, it came in, and I remember how I felt, that you expected everything to be correct, and it's just not the case. It doesn't look at everyone for a start. It's still coming down to a human being looking at a situation and again, interpreting a law, and they're going to get things wrong. I mean, part of the problem I feel, again, going back to a few of the sending off scenarios, is I don't think referees understand how footballers behave, or the people who make the rules understand how footballers will behave. Firstly, you can't say one guy is going to move the exact same as the other way, but the slattery one, again, I'm going to go on to the slattery one. I've only seen it once. I seen it live, and I thought, all he's doing is putting his arm up like every footballer does to protect himself and to protect the ball from the oncoming pressure of Todd Cantwell. Cantwell goes down like a sack of potatoes by holding his face, but it looks like it hit him in the neck. So again, I didn't really like that. But even if he did catch him in the face,
hey, go have a wee watch again if you want. There you are, I'm good to you.
It doesn't mean if there's contact in the face that it's a yellow card or a second yellow card to lead to a red card. And it is always it's maybe there's no excessive force in that, because you have seen players also having a little check to see where the pressure's coming and throwing their arm back. Slattery's eyes are fixed on the ball. He can feel the pressure. He puts his arm up to stop that coming into him and protect himself and protect the ball. I don't think that's how you're going. And I think that was my initial thought, because I know how people behave. Referees have got to have an understanding of situations in the game. Again, I think it's a very, very harsh situation to find. And what I'd say is, I think the rule needs to be looked at on that scenario where Motherwell were going down to 10 men against Rangers. Rangers are probably going to win against 11 men. They go down to 10 men against a top team. Hibs again, early in the game, go down to Celtic. It's 0-0 at Celtic Park. Was it 24, 26 minutes in? And they're down to 10 men. It's an uphill struggle. Yes, they went on and took the lead, but Celtic did what they do, and they come back and they win the game. I think the rule could be changed for looking at situations for second yellow cards, particularly in these scenarios. I think they're wrong.
I mean, that's a worldwide thing, isn't it, Roger? I guess it's because they don't want to...
Ian Maxwell, when it was introduced in October... Now, we're talking about VAR, the problems of VAR this season. We've only had it since October. Not even had it for a full season.
Seems like a lifetime, Roger.
It does. And Ian Maxwell said there would be teething troubles. And he's been proved absolutely correct. What I would like to know is what the SFA are doing to address the teething troubles. Because, you know, we've had this weekend alone, Lee Johnson, Stuart Kettlewell, we've had Derek McInnes complaining. Dundee United, so incensed, they've actually now written to Hampden and asked for a crisis summit to address it. But I spoke to...
See, on some of this stuff, sorry to interrupt, Ray, but yeah, I think this is important. What over the weekend was teething trouble?
Well, I'll give you an example. I was just about to say, I spoke to Roy McGregor up at Ross County a couple of weeks ago. Now, Ross County actually have been quite hard hit. You know, they had Jack Baldwin sent off by VAR. It originally got a yellow card, if you remember. VAR upgraded to Reds, got a 3-game ban. Same game, scored a goal. The good fact they got a penalty against Motherwell, you'll remember. And the penalty by VAR was turned round the other way. Week before, I was there when they played Dundee United, doing Kenna. Now, again, got to trust to the offside lines, goal disallowed. County were quite hard hit. Roy McGregor wasn't complaining about any of the decisions that have come against County. He said he had a two-pronged complaint. One being, it wasn't what was sold to the clubs. The clubs were told that, A, VAR would only intervene in the case of clear and obvious errors.
Been hearing that for years though,
and it's intervening in everything.
World football,
and B,
we?
They were also told these decisions would be cleared up quite quickly. It wouldn't interrupt the flow of the game or spoil the entertainment for the fans.
I get that, but I still think that's separate, right? Because we're talking tonight, right?
You're asking what the problem with VAR is at the weekend. I would say to you, concerning handball,
right?
Because nobody knows. Right. Nobody knows why that's not.
But generally, what I'm saying is, right, everyone keeps talking about this teething problems thing.
Yeah.
In 3 years' time, the referee might still think that Ailey Younes is ascending off.
Teething problems, one, the club feel that VAR is interfering too much. Teething problem, two, it's still taking too long for the decision to be taken.
That's fine.
Teething problem, three, fans in grounds don't know what's happening.
But I'm not disagreeing with any of that. What I'm saying is, the real rage this weekend seems to be coming from simply bad decisions or decisions that people are disagreeing with. There ain't no amount of teething that's good. That's not going to be fixed. You're not just going to suddenly rock up next season or the season after and the referee doesn't think that Ailey Younes should be sent off, or doesn't think that Todd Cantwell should be sent off, or doesn't
think they're not VAR issues.
But that's where the main complaint is this weekend, it seems.
I'm not so sure. I think the main complaint is the one that's emanated from Tannadice, because Dundee United are so angry they're actually writing formal letters
again,
to Hampden.
People do that though, don't
they? The penalty decision.
Right, exactly. A judgment call on a penalty decision, that is not a VAR teething problem.
What that is, that's
it's
a situation of Dundee United being in a real bad predicament, and they're thinking this could have cost us points.
Where VAR comes in there is Dundee United have the mistaken belief that VAR should intervene there and say, ref, you've made a mistake there, it's not a penalty.
Sure, but if you've still got people who are making those bad judgment calls, that's not down to teething. That's the point I'm trying to make. That's not something that's going to magically fix itself. I feel like you feel like I am saying there's nothing wrong.
I don't think any of this is bad. I live in the world of journalism, newspaper journalism, radio journalism. This is going to keep us going for years. It's a wonderful thing.
I'm actually going the other way. I don't think that. I think sweeping this away by calling it teething problems is living in a fantasy land.
I get what you're saying. It's no teething problem. The teething problems are what Rogers highlighted this weekend and over other weekends that we're discussing handball decisions and offside decisions and sending off decisions, and these are decisions getting made by human beings, the referees, that it's nothing to do with teething problems. And by the way, see, 25 years ago there was still a really bad sending off decision, and we're still getting it now. And seeing 3 years' time with VAR, we are still going to have the same arguments. This show will still be getting hounded with calls on bad decisions.
Because my thing is,
you're not still banging on about your one against Dundee United, are you?
I'm missing unbelievable. It was never a red card.
This would be my
point. Might have got a 3-game ban if VAR had been on that team.
I read an article about the use of VAR in the Bundesliga recently, right? Now, they were one of the first to implement. They implemented it way before us. They have got all sorts of cameras, right, that we can only dream of. They've been getting professional pilots to come in and educate the referees on the importance of clear communication, you know, getting your message. They're doing all sorts to try and make it as good as they can, and yet they still apparently, they're all complaining that it's taking too long. So I feel like we are kidding ourselves on that one day, someday, we are just going to be like, oh, this is, there we are, we're over the teething problems, and it's now so right now, 2023, people in the Bundesliga are still complaining that it's taking too long.
And over there they call it Varsprung-Dürr technique.
On that note, keep your calls coming. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here. It's 7:15. Not a single mention of a good goal, a good pass, a brilliant save, a defensive lapse. Just the way you want Mondays to be, Roger Hanna.
It's absolutely brilliant. Loving that. There weren't mentions of goals. Stephen Fletcher, Nicky Devlin, Dre Wright, Sead Haksabanovic.
You two gave
James
it
Tavernier.
The token mention at the top because I make you.
Prompted. Prompted.
Exactly. But anyway, good fun. 01419511025. Let's bring in John, who's on the line. Take it away, John.
All right, Gordon, Kenny, and Roger.
Hey, John.
Hi guys, I'm just going on about this VAR again. When I first thought VAR was coming in, right, I didn't know it would be our own officials who'd be officiating it from wherever they do it from an office. I thought it was going to, like, independent people would look at it from afar. Like, I didn't know it was my own. But anyway, the VAR, I'm sick and tired of it. I'm a Celtic fan. I've been on the show before. But see, the thing is now, Rogers made the word teething problems. That's like saying, oh, it's an honest mistake, right? The guy at the top, the refereeing guy at the top, him that runs the, I can't remember his name, right, Gordon?
Crawford Allen. Yes.
Crawford Allen. He's got to walk. That guy's got away with murder. He's got to walk. The performances, the professional referees, right? They're professional. Don't dress up and say, ah, but I've got other jobs and all that. Listen, there's people out here who do two jobs, part-time jobs or whatever, and they're still professional. These guys that's doing a job just now, right, the referees, it's diabolical, man. And it's always the same referees that get the Rangers games, Celtic games, like your Walsh and Beaton. And see, the other guys below them, they kind of, are they no professional enough? Are they no capable to do their job at a level, at a Celtic game or a Rangers game or whatever? But see, now, guys, Roger, I'm sorry, but see, this teething problems carry on. Crawford Allen's got to walk. It's a disgrace. This is not just going to the cinema for a bit of entertainment. This is high-end entertainment. This is costing clubs a vital... Now, Kenny, you played the game with both sides of the city, right? You know yourself, if it's one each and you've got a legitimate goal or a goal that shouldn't stand, right, that can cost you points and big money. And at the end of the day, you're sending fans home knowing the referee's made a backside. You know what I mean, guys? So Crawford Allen, tonight, he's got to walk. He's got to walk. He's got a Christy job up there.
Tonight? Specifically tonight?
Why not?
Gordon.
I'm just joking, John. Just having a bit of fun.
He's made a pig's ear, man. His employees, his referees' standards are terrible, the guys that work for him. But I'll tell you, every fan is getting fed up with it now. We're fed up with it. I did think that I was crying out for it, to bring it in and to see things like you do in tennis, etc. But now, see some of the lines, man, I think my eyes are going funny because it's like a diagonal squinty and all that.
Well, that is an important point, because there's a John will be resonating with a lot of people there on that point about the lines, right? But I think there are certain things, Roger, that we are almost sort of duty bound to clear up, right? You can debate till the cows come home. That's a handball. No, it's not. That's a straight red card. No, it's not. Whether the lines look squinty to you or I or John on the TV is literally irrelevant. It is the reason that we forked out for, it's the reason we paid the money, isn't it? It's the reason that we paid for the technology. Otherwise, what they would do is they would let John in Proven Mill sit in his living room, pause his TV, and then he can just look with his naked eye and he can tell us who's offside, and then we would just do it that way. The bit that we paid for was the bit that you get off Hawkeye. It's the technology. It's the bit that says that even if the camera is not 100% bang in line, it can tell you whether it's offside or not.
What you're asking us to do, Gordon, is put our trust in the technology. Now you will find
what's a different issue, Roger.
You should know, Gordon, with all your experience, there's not a lot of trust goes around Scottish football. Now, going back to John's
point, I get that, and it's not a bad thing to sort of ask questions and want clarity, because that is fine. But the point I'm trying to make is, how can me, you, Kenny, John, why would anyone think that our naked eye on a TV would be more reliable than that? That genuinely does confuse me.
I think we do need to put our trust in the technology, and decisions like that as a matter of fact. And we need to trust him as a matter of fact. Now, John was talking about the teething troubles. Not my words, Johnny. Ian Maxwell's words in October, and they have been borne out. On his point about Crawford Allen, one of the things down south that is being credited currently for an improvement in their VAR system is the fact that former referee Howard Webb has taken charge of his professional game management company down there.
Is that theirs and improved, by the way?
That is theirs improved. But one of the things that he is being credited for is coming out and being a more visible front man for the referees. Coming out, going on television, going on radio, explaining things, being more open, being more transparent in the decision making. He won't say, our refs are great. He'll say, listen, our refs are human. They can make mistakes, but here's what we're doing about it. Now, I'm not going to call for Crawford Allen to go. I'm not going to back up John. But what I would call for Crawford Allen to do is be a bit more like Howard Webb. You know, come on to this show, speak to the newspaper, speak to the TV channels, and explain some of the decisions, because at the minute, the general public, many of whom pay a lot of money to go and watch their football, they're confused.
Yeah, I do feel like that's obviously valid, Kenny. I also feel like sometimes we can help ourselves, whether that is whether it's fans to a lesser extent, but some pundits, it's for sure, I don't mind saying that. Managers as well. You know, for instance, you've got John talking about, oh, you know, the lines are squinty. And I mean, they're not. They just aren't. Like, there's no point. I can't convince people of that. They're just not.
I think the Fir Park groundsman's got a squinty called Qualcast.
He may well have.
He's Qualcast calibrated.
But, you know, Stuart Kettlewell then says after the game, you know, I want answers on this, because Fashion Sakala's line is ahead of Bevis Mugabe's, so he must be offside. Except it is quite common knowledge, I've said it on the show before, that that can be the case. But if the two lines are touching in any way, the benefit of the doubt goes with the attacker. So actually, when something is offside, that usually means we've got a bit of daylight. Our two lines need to be apart for it to be given as offside. So yes, Fashion Sakala's line might look ahead of Bevis Mugabe's, but are they touching? Yes. Therefore, that was the right decision. And then you've also got Lee Johnson talking about, you know, it needed to be clear and obvious to get involved in Ewan's second booking, which is just factually incorrect. That it wouldn't get involved in that. It never does on second bookings anywhere. So I feel like there's a difference between our genuine problems, issues, debates, and then the ones that we're all just kind of making up and just gather momentum, snowball on social media. Look at the stuff about the offsides at Fir Park at the weekend. If you're the creator of Hawkeye sitting wherever he may be, you must be chuckling away to yourself at that stuff.
It's, you know what, I think what we're doing is we're doing exactly what you say we shouldn't. We're throwing everything into the same mix, and there is just a general frustration with VAR, with the decisions that the referees watching VAR are making. Mm. There are things, like you've said and Roger says, they are statement of fact. Offside is offside. If you're onside, the goal's given. You've explained the rules with overlapping lines or touching lines. The other things about the red cards, these are just decisions that the referees are making, and they're constant. They're going to continue. Me, should Crawford Allen be resigning? Probably not. Could he be a little bit more, like Roger says, vocal and explaining? Again, it doesn't need to be every decision every week at every stadium. I think big situations sometimes need to be explained. And the one thing Roger says right at the top of the show is what we're doing about it. How are we going to improve this?
What's your feeling on that? Because despite what I just said there, and I know that the way that can come across, I believe there are loads of issues, loads of problems. I feel like we need to focus on the right ones and not get distracted by stuff that's just, you know, factually incorrect or a complete misinterpretation. So you've played, you've coached, you're now pundit. How do you think, do we have a standard of officiating problem? Is it worse than it was when you played? How do you look upon it?
I look at it, it comes down to the right to the bottom line, that it's a human being looking at a situation. Now, I think the referees are under a lot more pressure, because now I can't actually remember talking about interpretations of laws and things back when I was playing 10, 15 years ago. But now the laws have changed so much, the handball, I mean, the offside rules are an absolute farce, by the way, in my opinion. An absolute farce, the offside rule.
Generally, we've debated it.
We've debated it a million times before we've come on the show. It's just a shambles. So the referees are now got all these different rulings that are changing constantly. They've now then got to be there at centre stage making good decisions. I just don't think they're making enough good decisions. And because VAR, again, you say that, everybody expects everything to be running smoothly and the referees to be getting these decisions bang on every single time. And unfortunately, it's just not happening
that communication, way. Quickly, because is the communication, do you think that should be the first fix, Roger? Because with the best will in the world, nobody can wave a magic wand and say, referees, be better. I think that's not going
to
happen.
I think it would iron out a lot of the trouble. To answer another one of John's questions in among that, you know, are there not other referees good enough to take on Old Firm games? Spoke to Brian Graham of Partick Thistle the other week, who was complaining that the best six refs get the Premier games, the next best six refs get the Premier VAR jobs, and then you're down to referees number 13 to 18 in the Championship, and he says they're rubbish.
See, in fairness, right, I think that will... But there we go, I've found you a teething problem. I'll come on board with you. Eventually, should we not see a bit of improvement in that? Because what will happen eventually, just inevitably, is... the best refs don't make the best VARs. and it might be that the best VARs are not very good referees. You know, like anything, you find your niche, you find your skill set. So once we've got a bit of body of work behind us, it might be that some championship level ref that you've not really heard of actually emerges as the best VAR, and they decide that actually, do you know what, Nick Walsh or whatever, you're much better suited at being on the field.
A little tweaking to do what they do in England, where some of the best recently retired referees are allowed to stay on as VARs.
They can do that here, but we just don't have anyone that retired recently enough. We don't have anyone that's within that time frame. So again, that is available. Thank you very much to John. And Ryan Clark Kent has said to me that Stuart Kettlewell got answers from Crawford Allen to his satisfaction. There we are. I stand corrected. He's the last manager in the league I want to fall out with, believe me.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, a bit of light relief. Let me check these questions. Not one single mention of VAR in the Beat the Pundit question. So if you fancy it tonight, 01419511025, and it could be you playing Roger Hanna, if you're brave enough, or Kenny Miller next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. It's Twitter at Clyde SSB. And it has been one-way traffic since the start of the show. Referees, VAR, controversy. It was not a great weekend on those topics. So if you want to keep it coming, agree or disagree with what you've heard, then it's 01419511025. And if you want to go all radical on me and change the subject, you can do it on the same number. But let's do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. I think we need a good week for the listeners. I'd feel much better about things if we could secure one of them. Ross is in East Kilbride. How's it going, Ross?
Not bad. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Have you ever played before?
I have not, no.
Right, okay. Well, neither of these two are that far from East Kilbride, so I think you could drop the ball off if Ross beats you. That fair?
Yeah.
I thought you'd be delighted at that. Heads, it will be Roger Hanna. Tails, it will be Kenny Miller. And let's see who Ross gets. Nearly dropped the coin.
That's the old coin.
It's Tails, it's Kenny. Oh, there's the new one up there, Roger. Sorry, I didn't use your shiny new coin.
I'm told Marvin was very impressed with it last week.
He really was. It's still a Tails though, it's still Kenny. So what we'll do here is give Kenny some Clyde 2 to listen to, and that way he can't hear us, Ross. So it's quite straightforward from here, he says. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. And if you'd rather just pass and move on to the next one, that's absolutely fine, okay?
Perfect.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who scored his first goal for Rangers at the weekend?
Oh, pass.
Who's currently in the playoff spot in the Scottish Premiership?
Dundee United.
Who did Aaron Ramsey join Rangers on loan from?
Arsenal.
Name any Welsh player in the Rangers first team squad.
Oh, pass.
Who does Scotland play on Saturday?
Cyprus.
Who scored the winning penalty for Celtic in the Scottish Cup final to secure the quadruple treble? Okay, let's bring Kenny back. Kenny, can you hear us? Same set of questions, ready?
Yep.
Let's go. Who scored the first goal for Rangers at the weekend?
Tavernier.
Who is currently in the playoff spot in the Scottish Premiership?
Come on.
Who did Aaron Ramsey join Rangers on loan from?
Juventus.
Name any Welsh player currently in the Rangers first
Lawrence.
Team squad. Who does Scotland play on Saturday?
Cyprus.
Who scored the winning penalty for Celtic in the Scottish Cup final to secure the quadruple treble?
Pass.
Who's top of the Scottish Championship?
Queen's Park.
What is the name of Dunfermline Stadium?
Pass.
Okay. Ross, is it harder when you're actually on air?
100%, definitely. I think he got one more than me. I'm panicking here.
He was a bit faster. You obviously misheard me. You definitely misheard me for the first question.
Yeah.
And you just panicked, Ross. So it was a bad combination.
Yeah. Oh, I panicked. It's definitely not Tav though.
Who scored his first goal for Rangers?
Oh my god, unbelievable.
The guy's only getting 90. What is it, 90?
I want the replay. You said who scored first goal.
You sound like Marvin Bartley, honestly. Todd Cantwell. But then Ross didn't get it either. And guess what?
Ross, that's poor for you.
Ross is
he said the wrong thing for me. He must have got it right for you.
Ross is a Rangers fan. Ross, that is question one panic, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. I was working at the time, I was listening to the radio, so I didn't even see it.
Excuses. I'm going to stop telling people they can pass, because I think it like plants the seed and then the bottle just goes. Anyway, you both sort of were close but not close enough. The playoff spot is Ross County.
I panicked there.
Aaron Ramsey was on loan from Juve. Kenny goes 1-0 up. I think you were toiling mentally at this point, Ross.
Yes.
The Welsh players in the Rangers squad are Rabbi Matondo and Tom Lawrence. 2-0 Kenny. You both knew that Scotland play Cyprus at the weekend. I mean, how good is it to have a Scotland international who scored against Cyprus this week in the studio, Roger Hannah?
Yes.
I mean, honestly, you think we planned these things in advance?
Who scored the other goal that night, Kenny?
Jamie Mackey.
Oh,
well, he's bound to know.
Are
I don't
you
know
sure?
if anyone else would have.
See, I've worked too many years with Gordon DL, who doesn't know anything about it.
It is Cyprus, so it's 3-1 to Kenny at this point. This was tough, but let's see if the Anorak can get it. The winning penalty for Celtic to secure the quadruple treble.
Oh, my guess would be Odson Edward.
Christopher Ayer.
Oh, in a shootout?
Yeah.
Of course, aye.
So still 3-1 Kenny at this point. Queen's Park are top of the championship. 4-1 Kenny. And you even had time to forget that it's East End Park for Dunfermline. Ross, I'm afraid it was not enough. It was a 1-4 for Kenny Miller. Hard lines.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad I didn't get Roger. I think it would probably be 6 or 7-1.
On the bright side, neither of these two will turn up at your front door with a signed ball tonight. So every cloud. Well done, Ross.
No worries, thank you. Thanks, guys.
Good, Ross. Man. That was Ross from East Coast. I mean, they all count. I'd say a dip below your usual
level.
It
was a poor performance, but still a 4.
It
should have been a 6.
Yeah, I'd say so.
If you had said the right question, it would have been a 5.
On it, do not go all Marvin Bartley on me. Do you know how I could tell as well? Because I then, it was such a ridiculous answer that I sort of laughed. And then you looked at me as if, what are you laughing at?
What are you laughing at? I'm thinking, did somebody else score first? Was there an OG?
What is Tavernier up to 98. So it wasn't his first. What was it? Another goal, another assist.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to, if nothing else, I'm going to miss the James Tavernier debates when he's eventually gone, Kenny, because it will never escape it. People would quite rightly say, are you mad? How can you be overly critical of a right back that's got 98 goals and more assists? But then other people, loads of times, any time it goes wrong for Rangers, will always phone up and say, he isn't defending well enough, he's not captain material, whatever. He's a constant source of debate on this show.
He's a constant source of debate, but he's also a constant source when Rangers need somebody to step up and produce something, whether it be a free kick or stepping up in a high pressure situation, taking a penalty or producing a cross that goes right on the money. It's a Sakala's head. I've been on the receiving end of that cross many a time myself. He does stand up. He's stand up and counted all the time. By the way, very, very rarely miss a game. That's why I think he's approaching 400 games as well, which is incredible. I mean, I think it's 114 assists I heard on Saturday. So over 200 goal involvements, and he's just coming up to the 400 games. It's incredible numbers. I get it sometimes the defensive stuff with him, but he's also getting asked to play a really, really attacking role to give that on that right wing, to be the attacking outlet there for Rangers. So you've got to forgive him sometimes.
The actual game itself, if you like, Roger, the goals that were scored, the goals that were conceded, if we except just for now, for a bit of sanity, that the lines were not squinty or whatever. What did you make of the rest of it?
It didn't surprise me. I think I took 3-2 in my prediction at the top of the show on Saturday. It finished 4-2. It's pretty typical of a Rangers game in the Michael Beale era. They look as if they'll score lots and lots of goals going forward. Not a problem. The goals split between Tavernier, he got the first. Todd Cantwell, that was his first for the club, Gordon. Sakala, substitute Tillman, scored as well. But they do look, nothing to do with James Tavernier, Kenny, they do look vulnerable at the back.
But they're conceding a lot of goals, Roger.
Yeah,
and that'll be something Michael will be looking to try and get in his game. In his
100%.
First game, 2 against Hibs, second game, 2 against Aberdeen. Yeah. They concede 2 against Partick.
And it's asking a lot for the front players to have to go and score 3 and 4 goals every week to win games.
Well, it won't happen every week, Roger. That's the thing. Yeah. So that's where at some point they'll come unstuck, because there's just no way you can concede particularly the first goals as well. You know, they're conceding a lot of first goals, but there's no doubt it'll be something that Michael will be looking to definitely change, because it's no, you can't continue to concede that amount of goals and still be winning games. You'll have a day when you're off, or the front players, it doesn't quite go for them, and you end up dropping more points.
I've seen it was under the spotlight more this weekend, because we have 3 uncapped goalkeepers going for the Scotland jersey on Saturday. how much credit goes to Liam, how much credit goes to James Tavernier for the free kick? Can Liam Kelly do better? How annoyed would Stuart Kettlewell be at Callum Slattery for putting the team in that position in the first place with the tackle? Where's the balance for you?
Well, it was a catalogue of errors by Motherwell. First of all, a ridiculous challenge by Slattery and John Lindstrom. Secondly, a wall that didn't jump in unison. And thirdly, Liam Kelly, you know, I think we all knew where Tavernier was going to put the ball. And he almost got there. It looked as if he did get there and didn't keep it out. And as you said in the show on Saturday, wasn't straight in the corner. You know, it was reasonably central. You just wonder for him. And it's a bad weekend for the two Scottish-based lads. I think we've got a Scotland squad that's only got two Scottish-based outfield players in it, Callum McGregor and Ryan Jack. Couple of Scottish-based goalies. But Liam Kelly lost four on Saturday lunchtime. Xander Clark had lost three by half time at Pittodrie.
By the way, and Liam Kelly's could have been eight. Roger, yeah, had he not made a few good saves, by the way.
But Angus Gunn, Championship team of the week, clean sheet, kept out Stoke attack. Anyway, plaudits, yeah, left, right and centre. He'll start against Cyprus.
There's enough times to get into those specifics, I guess, later in the week. On the Tavernier free kick, though, Kenny, I suppose to get it up and down in that proximity, I suppose that's where it's hard for goalkeepers.
Listen, great technique.
If a player can pull that off, then you're going to be up against it.
Great technique. And sometimes, again, you see, because it's went in low as well, sometimes I think, oh well, it's not even went in the top corner. That could be harder to actually get across and get down as well, the ones that are going in low. I think I heard, I read Liam Kelly saying he actually struggled to see it because of the wall that Rangers placed in front of him as
and
well.
I think James Tavernier said that. Yeah. That was deliberate.
Yeah.
So that they,
of course,
because
it makes him, makes him go an extra step, probably that way, which leaves the bigger gap. So it's a ploy that a lot of teams use, and it worked. It worked at the weekend. I mean, you've got someone like Tav who can then, he's got the technique to get it up and down, and even on that short space, he's got the good technique. Gets a topspin on the ball, gets it dipping right in front of the line.
What did you make of Tavernier's post match comments about Celtic will see the real Rangers in these games coming up?
Listen, I certainly hope so. I've said myself, I think that the performance wasn't good enough. Michael said it, players have now came out and said it and acknowledged that level of performance is not good enough. And you know what, it's not going to be against that Celtic team. What I hope you see is a performance, yep, it is better, but it's also more aggressive and don't allow Celtic. I mean, Michael's talked a lot in the last few when there's been decent performances. He's actually talked a lot about their off the ball, their pressure, their counter pressure has been really, really good as well. Not just their play. Again, if you go back to Hibs, they were absolutely sensational second half against Motherwell at the weekend. They were far better. But he's also talking about how they're getting after teams and getting after the ball. They need to do that better against Celtic.
I'm going to take this show to new intellectual heights, Roger, that it's never scaled before. Somewhere in a dark corner of North Lanarkshire, Gordon DL is scribbling this down because we know he likes an inspirational quote.
Oh, he does.
But I don't think he could reach these heights. William has sent me a tweet saying, on the topic of VAR, because that's all we've discussed tonight, as the saying goes, nothing vast enters the life of mortals without a curse.
There you are.
Is that not what you were just saying to me in the office, Kenny, before we came in?
It's echoed my exact statement, yeah.
If the Dazzler doesn't claim that as his own by the weekend, I'll be astonished.
Nothing vast enters the life of mortals without a curse. What do you think, Craig, on the line?
It's certainly poetic, isn't it? I'm not sure I could have come up with it, that's for sure. I think he's in the VAR thing. I think we're twofold here. We're asking the wrong questions. For a start, I think we have to be clear. The technology itself works. That isn't the problem. The problem has never been the technology, because it is as objective, as impartial as you can get and as objective as you can get. You know, it is what it is. It's how it's operated. It's the human error aspect. And you'll never eliminate human error. And by the way, it's not just up here. I don't know if anybody's seen what happened down south at the weekend, but there were some atrocious decisions down there. I sat on Friday night and watched as a goal was ruled out for Newcastle United that absolutely should have stood, because the referee decided a defender clearing the ball didn't deliberately kick the ball. So it does happen, even in the biggest and best league in the world. I think that it's about clarity and about explanation. I'd love for us to have what they have in the rugby and in football, have the referees mic'd up, because when a referee comes to a decision in rugby, you can hear every word that's being said. You know how they've came to that decision, because you can hear their workings. Here, you just don't. You just see a ref get sent to a monitor for one thing and then not sent for another thing. And then sometimes you see decisions like the Kilmarnock one, for example, which is, I mean, it's a fingertip save that Andy Considine has produced. And the ref's not told to go to the monitor for that, but earlier in the game, he was for Vassell's goal. Things like that, they're going to frustrate the life out of us until we get some sort of clarification. I also think it's worth noting that when these bad decisions happen, and I'm not talking about marginal ones or subjective ones, you know, everyone can make those mistakes, but when those blatantly bad decisions go against the club, they might feel the consequences. Kilmarnock might go down off the back of those 2 points they didn't pick up at the weekend. Not saying they will, but they could. A team could lose a championship. Anything could happen. Referees themselves, other than the scrutiny and the ire of fans and players and managers, don't actually face consequences that often. Down south, one of them actually recently did because of a blown offside decision where they've now not going to be refereeing or VARing, I think it was, in a Premier League game. Perhaps we need somebody to take the reins up here that will be a bit stronger and better train the refs, because I don't like just sitting picking on them. I think we just have to recognise that they are human beings, but we can improve it by improving their performances.
It's interesting when Craig brings up, look, this does genuinely happen everywhere. Just watch other leagues. That sort of, to me, Roger, that can encourage you in a weird way and say, well, you know what, it's not just us, or we're not making a specific mess of this. But if it encourages you on one hand, on the other, it kind of worries me, because if we are in a thinking of, well, actually, you know, once we get rid of teething problems, it'll be better, or we just need to better train our refs, or we just need to get full time refs, or whatever, these silver bullets that people keep mentioning, are we kidding ourselves on?
I don't know. Craig's
just phoned in and said that it's still,
well, he's quite
problematic
right
elsewhere, what is it we're hoping for?
The decision in the Forest Newcastle game on Friday night defied logic.
Right.
I mean, that was ridiculous.
So 20 cameras, full-time referees, had VAR for a number of seasons.
Yeah, and so, still don't get it right.
So what is it we're hoping to achieve? Well, or how are we going to get there?
One of the ways of getting there, and I think Craig's quite right, it might sound ludicrous to us making up the officials the way they do in rugby, but it hasn't done rugby any harm. Rugby's embraced it. It gives the fans in rugby grounds and on television a full idea of what decisions are being made, why they're being made, and the thought process that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were talking earlier on, and I fully agree with you, Gordon. We need to put our trust in technology. We need to put our trust in that the VAR lines are fully calibrated and we've got it right. So by extension, we need to put our trust in officials that even if they make mistakes, they're honest mistakes. So why could we not listen to the conversation between the referee at Rugby Park on Saturday and the VAR in the studio who's looking at that Andy Considine issue?
I suppose what we need to do, I know there are examples, but we'd almost need to become world leaders on that then, wouldn't we? Or part of the leading pack.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to bring it into the SPFL Premiership on its own.
Oh, so you're talking generally football?
Yeah.
All right, okay, globally,
generally,
right?
Football in general, globally. You know, it might come in at the next European Championships, it might come in at the next World Cup, and then it would filter down to
us. Can I ask, though, how does it improve the decision?
No,
it just helps us understand, well, this is what they're talking about, but they've still got a bad decision.
It just helps the reaction, doesn't it?
Exactly.
And that's the thing, I can see
so
why you're asking.
So there's a communication thing, but it's not going to change the decision.
It would also let us hear what Alexander Mitrovic said to Chris Kavanagh at Old Trafford yesterday.
Incredible. So you actually, you're not as sold on that? You don't think even just an explanation would just help people?
I think an explanation would, but I don't know if that type of communication, hearing that, would actually give us it. I think in the Considine one, I think we need that there has to be another reasoning why that wasn't given.
Because,
and that's where I think fans probably, because you're absolutely right, Craig, that could be two points at Kilmarnock get that could be absolutely crucial come the end of the season. Whether it's direct relegation or into a playoff spot, it could really have a big impact on their season.
Maybe that's a bad example, that one, because it seems particularly obvious, but again, are we kidding ourselves on with the referee over the mic or after the game, whatever your chosen version is, says, I genuinely don't think it hit his arm. And Derek McInnes goes, oh well then, at least I've had my explanation. Move your fury in a completely different direction.
Yeah, it probably would.
Maybe that's a bad example, that one though.
It would allow Derek McInnes at least to know.
Sure.
At the minute, yeah, it's a mystery.
I'm all for it. Imagine broadcasting it on here. Oh, please,
absolutely
bring
fantastic.
It on. Thank you very much to Craig 01419511025. Good time to call. We'll try and get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's time for Kenny Miller and Roger Hannah to team up on the full-time teaser. And we'll keep it brief and go straight back to your calls, because it is a lively old night on the phone ends. But thank you to Stephen for sending this teaser in. That's the aim of the game. You send the questions and hopefully the pundits struggle with the answers to your question. Always like to try and keep you all involved as much as possible. So this one tonight from Stephen: can you name 10 players who've scored against both Rangers and Celtic in the same season since 2018-19? Now this is only league goals. Can you name 10 players who've scored against both Rangers and Celtic in the same season since 2018-19? Now I can ask this question with confidence when it's you two, because I want you to be measured about it. Actually try and think of right answer. Whereas Gordon DL would just shout 150 names at me and swamp this question. But have a little think, see what you can come up with. Any that spring to mind?
I'm having a wee bit, I guess, here. O'Hara?
No, I think that's an educated guess, but he's not on it.
Kevin Nisbet?
Yes.
Oh, he's on my list as well here, Roger.
Yeah, well done.
Van Veen?
No, actually, nope. So you're going to need good recent knowledge. So 10 players who've scored against both Rangers and Celtic in the league in the same season since 2018-19. Kevin Nisbet did it the 2021 season.
Josh Ginnelly?
No. Any that might have done it this season?
Oh. Shankland?
No.
Alan Campbell?
No.
The team not score the left foot volley this season? The 2-2? No? Was it no? Was that Doyle Hayes?
No, you've just got the wrong first name.
Josh Campbell.
Josh Campbell.
Brilliant.
That's what I mean. Come on now.
Well, no, but Alan
Campbell. Alan Campbell plays for Luton. Like,
but he scored for Motherwell against Rangers in that time frame. Come
so
on.
Alan Campbell then, huh?
No. Any more, Roger, for now?
For now, I am going to say. It's a good one, isn't it? In 2018-19.
Yes.
Joel Nibley.
No. All right. We'll get back to that. Fulltime at Clyde1.com. That's where Stephen sent the questions in, so keep them coming, please. Let's bring in Paul, who is on the line. But you're more interested, Paul, in what was happening in the Rangers' support at Fir Park at the weekend. Is that right?
That's right, Gordon. Thanks for letting me on, Gordon, Kenny and Roger. I also had one of those, I guess, for that quiz there.
No, I'm going to cut you off, Paul. They don't need any help. I've pulled that mic right down. Just you carry on with your point.
Can I give a clue at least?
Maybe at the end.
Right, pull me in at the end if you're going to let me. Right. Anyway, just about the support. I understand, you know, we're going through a bit of a tricky time now, and I kind of want to get Kenny's view on this as well, being, you know, an ex-Rangers man and whatnot. But, you know, I look at the board, and I'm not going to take away what the board have done since the Mike Ashley era and Charles Green and all that type of stuff, you know, that they've got us there. But I think, you know, I think Stuart Robertson and Ross Wilson are getting a bit of a hard time here, and there'll be other Rangers fans probably going to phone in and say, what are you talking about? But I think the Park family, if I'm being honest with you, and I know there's some ex-Rangers players who are big fans of the Park family, and probably, you know, defending to the hilt, but at the end of the day, these guys are holding the money at Rangers. Stuart Robertson doesn't, and neither does Ross Wilson. They can only do what they've got. They can only work with the tools they've been given, like a tradesperson would, to be honest. So if they need more money, they need more investment, and that only comes from the powers that be in the board, and it's higher up than Stuart Robertson and Ross Wilson, to be honest. And I think they're getting in the neck, and it's not going to change things. You only have to look at other clubs around the world, Man United and whatnot, and the Chelseas of this world, to go through managers and go through all that type of stuff. But at the end of the day, the Park family hold a big part of this, and I think they're getting a wee bit of scot-free running that, to be honest. And I think Union and Bears and that, if they really want to protest against us, then they have to be the focus point on it. And peaceful protests, I'm not in here to slate people's characters. At the end of the day, they hold a power sway at Rangers, and I don't think they're getting necessarily attention in the media, if I'm being honest with you.
Just to be clear though, Paul, because obviously, you know, it was the Time for Change banners held up at Fir Park. You're right, Stuart Robertson and Ross Wilson are the targets of that protest. But your take on it is that in the case of Ross Wilson, for instance, if we're talking recruitment, you think they need more money. Whereas I guess some people who would hold up the placards would say it's about how that money's been used. It's not the amount of it is where they're frustrated.
No, well, politically, their hands are tied. They're not going to come out and say otherwise. They're in jobs at the end of the day. It might come out later on in years to come when they're no longer in that position. They might say something. But at the end of the day, the Park family hold the power, and I know there's been a lot of, you know, comings and goings with certain individuals looking to invest in Rangers, and they haven't met certain criteria, and that concerns me a wee bit. And absolutely, listen, I've suffered the, you know, and Kenny suffered it as well, being a player at Rangers, you know, going into the wrong hands, and certainly I don't want to go back down that route again. But at the end of the day, we certainly need investment moving forward, and I don't want to be a scattergun, because I heard Celtic fans saying the same thing. They did exactly the same thing. Dermot Desmond was mentioned a number of times, not being visible at games and blah, blah, blah. And you can go down that route. But at the end of the day, we've got a lot of players there who have been there since Stephen Gerrard came in 2018. You only have to look across the city. They've done a sweeping change. You could probably compare some of the players that played in the Fire Cup final, played at the first Old Firm game that Gerrard was there. We definitely change, but at the end of the day, we need the right players coming in.
Yeah, but does Ross Wilson not drive a lot of that? Is that not part of his responsibility then? Who, if not the sporting director, would be in charge of making sure your squad changes?
But I'm disappointed we only brought two players in. That's not Ross Wilson's fault. At the end of the day, he can only, it all comes down to money. You're not telling me that Ross Wilson's just been given a barrel load of money and say, here, go and buy who you've got. He's probably having to, he'll never say it, because he's not going to criticise the board and he's in a job, but his hands must be tied. I'd be raising questions of that, to be honest, and saying, well, why not going to get more players?
Well, in terms of who is being targeted by this, it really depends what your objection or complaint is in the first place. Now, it strikes me that a lot of money has been put into the Rangers football department in recent times. Even going back to, you know, Stephen Gerrard's time, you're talking £7 million on Ryan Kent. An awful lot of signings coming in the door. Even go to last January and the money that would be laid out on the loan deals for Aaron Ramsey and Ahmed Diallo. You go to last summer, an awful lot of players coming in. You know, Ridvan Yilmaz, I think, cost a bit of money. Ben Davis cost a bit of money. There was a bit of money spent by the board. I think the objection and complaint by the people who are putting all these banners around grounds at the minute, Gordon, is that the money hasn't been spent wisely enough. You go back to Paul's point there about the team that played in the Viaplay Cup final. Did I read something that 8 of the starting 11 also started the 2019?
I think it was 7-1 to Celtic, I think.
And since then, 27 players had come into the club, and still those 7 were playing in the first team for a cup final. And that was sort of, you know, asking questions about the quality of the new players who had come in the intervening period. So at the minute, these supporters do seem to have Ross Wilson and Stuart Robertson in their sights. But, you know, if things don't get better quickly, then you might find these protests are widened, as Paul suggests.
What do you think, Rangers fans? Are you for or against the type of protest you saw at Fir Park at the weekend? Let us know. Kenny, what do you think? We got through quite a lot already there. I suppose on a basic level, do you just respect the right of fans to do that? And can it be distracting? Or how do you view it?
I think when fans, when again you see it all over the place, when things are not going well on the field, everybody gets it in the neck. And it normally starts with the players and the managers, and then if it's still not kind of improving, then they start to look to the people that are sitting in the stands. I do tend to agree that there has been investment in the team. I do also agree that that's maybe not been money well spent over the last 20 months or so. I think now this is going to be a big summer for Rangers in that department. Michael will want to get 4 or 5 probably players in that are going to improve in his team and starting lineup, because Roger's right, there has been a lot of players that have still been there probably from 3, 4, 5 seasons ago. But again, sometimes you've got to be careful what you wish for as fans and change, and obviously Rangers will know that better than most.
It's always a difficult one, Roger, because the truth is you'll never know what percentage of supporters agree with that sentiment at the weekend and what percentage disagree. I suppose all you could say at this point in time was, is it's it's enough. You know, it's sizable that it's making a it's making an impact. Is that fair?
We said at the top of the show on Saturday when the first pictures were coming through from Firth Park how surprised I was at the magnitude of the protest. I had sort of written this off a little bit in previous weeks that, you know, it was just a handful of the Union Bears, initially inside Ibrox, then outside Ibrox. This was mobilised to a far greater extent. Clearly, they'd got these posters onto all the seats in the away end. That doesn't mean all of the fans in the away end are going to lift the posters, but the vast, vast majority of them did. And it was quite a spectacle just before kick-off at the weekend. And next home game after an international break is Dundee United. You wonder if this unsettled element within the Rangers' support will mobilise further and it'll be even bigger for the Dundee United game.
Yeah, I wonder about the sort of the pressure that can then come about on the back of a bad result, Kenny, because we've been over this many times. Rangers league form is very, very good since Michael Beale came in. In fact, it's pretty flawless, right? There's no doubt about that. Got to a cup final and lost it narrowly on the scoreboard in it, but it's to your nearest rivals and it looks like it might be a trophy this season if you don't get the other one right. So understand the reaction to that. But when that stuff's there in the background, does it almost lead to a scenario where if Rangers do have a bad result, a couple of bad results, it's then going to really intensify?
It will intensify if there was bad results. Listen, I can't see that happening. But where the games that it could potentially intensify are going to be these last three Old Firm games. Like the first one, obviously, on April the 8th, we've had, obviously, James Taverner's came out and says that Celtic will see the real Rangers. Again, I'm sure everybody hopes that is the case. And there's a better level of performance in that game. Again, two very good teams going at it is what we want to see. And then you've got, for me, the big one at the end of the month, because you've rightly said this is Rangers' last chance to make it not a trophy this season and also to stop a potential treble. So it becomes, it's a massive, massive month, April, for Rangers with those two games at the start and at the end.
Here's what Michael Beale made of those protests.
Listen, I've always worked well with Ross, and he came when I was already in the club the first time round. He's influential in bringing me back into the club. We work fantastically well every day. He's a 24/7 football person similar to myself, so our energy is the same. We're off working and looking at players, and we control the atmosphere, if you like, in the training ground. We're the two main figures at the training ground. So I understand the fans' frustration. They don't know everything that goes on in the workings of the club, but I understand that they pay their money and they support the club. They pack out every away attendance, both domestic and in Europe. They pack out every game at Ibrox, and they have a right to, in the right way, put across their opinion. But I would say since I've come back in, the form of the team's been really good. Before that, they can be disgruntled, but now we're looking forward and moving forward, and I would prefer it if we were all on the same page, but at the same time, they're entitled to their opinion. I think the work going on behind the scenes and towards next season's exciting. It can't all be revealed now, but I would just hope that we can make sure that we're together moving forward.
What do you think, Rangers fans? Agree or disagree with those protests at the weekend? Do let me know on Twitter or on the phones. You too, quickly. Thank you to Paul, by the way, before we move on. Quickly, a brief visit to this teaser. Can you name 10 players who've scored against both Rangers and Celtic in the same league season since 2018-19? You've given me Kevin Nisbet and Josh Campbell. Any non-Hibs players on there?
Ayunga.
Brilliant. Ayunga. This season, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep, well done. Roger.
What about Lewis Ferguson?
Yes, well done. The 21-22 season. Scored recently for Bologna. Hopefully he does it for Scotland this weekend.
Boyle.
Would you believe no?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think maybe there must be a cup and league split for him.
Hat-trick Boyce. Cup semi-final, wasn't it?
Not Boyce either, no.
Not Boyce. But left field. David Moyle of Hamilton.
Oh, very left field. Too left field.
No.
That's too deep there, Eileen. Too deep there.
And one, because he was an answer in one of the questions, I think, on Saturday. Liam Donnelly.
No, I'll give you the rest of the break to come up with some more answers and we'll get them next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Kenny Miller are here. 0141 951 1025. Twitter at Clyde SSB. And we're having good fun, I think, on Stephen's teaser question tonight that he sent in. Thank you to Stephen. Fulltime at Clyde1.com. 10 players have scored against both Rangers and Celtic in the same league season since 2018-19. You've got Josh Campbell, Kevin Nisbet, Jonah Ayunga and Lewis Ferguson. Any during the break?
Flo Kimberi.
Kimberi did it, well done.
What about Christian Ramirez?
He also did it, well done. 6-4 to get.
What about Sam Cosgrove?
Oh, now we're cooking. Roger Hanna, well done. Okay, 3 to get. We'll get them, I think, before the end. One in particular though. Wow. Very tough. Very, very tough. Now, what have we not done? What have we not got round to? Because there have been
Football. So many.
Apart from that, we just like cut our losses and just round off all the controversial talking points from the weekend, try and put a lid on it, and then we move on tomorrow. Or I mean, what have we not given? Well, who have we not given the credit? Dundee United are feeling very strongly about things.
The spokesman for Scotland's referees, Mr. Gordon Dale of Motherwell, will be on the show tomorrow night to defend the men in black.
Mm.
So let's have a pop at them tonight.
Dundee United aren't happy.
Dundee United are not
happy. They feel the penalty given to St Mirren was a joke.
Yeah, I can understand their feelings. That doesn't really come down to VAR, as Kenny said earlier. That's a good old-fashioned refereeing error. One compounded by the fact that it wasn't overturned by VAR, and hence the Dundee United complaint. The look on Loic Aina's face when he realises that the referee has penalised him for the challenge in Curtis Main is a sight to behold. And we talked, I think one of the last callers spoke about, you know, the Andy Considine handball at Rugby Park. That's maybe 2 points that could cost Kilmarnock relegation. It's the same 2 points could cost Dundee United relegation after the weekend.
You in agreement? Did Dundee United right to feel hard done by?
I think so. I mean, I know the player by the way, and he loves a foul. He's on loan for Huddersfield. He loves a tackle. He loves an aggressive tackle as well.
He should have been sent off at Livingston, and having already been sent off against Kilmarnock in the cup.
But that one, he's been blindsided. Is there much contact? I think Curtis Main kind of dips his toe in and then just kind of goes down. I thought it was a very, very harsh decision. So yeah, they can feel aggrieved.
And then to sort of reluctantly, let's finish where we started. Are those the ones that if you are a manager, a player, a fan, whatever, that the concept of VAR is annoying you because you think, well,
get it right.
It's there to correct it. You know, it's fine if it happens in the first place. And then you throw in that added complication, the nonsense that we've heard since VAR was introduced elsewhere in the world about, oh, well, it has to be clear and obvious. And then is that clear and obvious? And then, well, what does that mean? Because one man's clear and obvious is not the other. Are those the ones that you think, right, surely when that gets viewed back, it will be overturned?
I think that's one of a few for the weekend. Yeah, I think they would have hoped that you would have, right, okay, the decisions went against us, but VAR will sort this out. It's no a penalty, there's no contact, there's this or that. I think, like you say, you'll still have people think, oh, well, there was a wee bit of contact there and he's maybe just mistimed it. For me, I just think it was very, very soft. Very unlucky for Loic and very unlucky for Jim Goodwin. It could have been his first one.
Where does that leave things at the bottom? I did say in the headlines there was no big winner really, because Motherwell lost, Killy got held, Ross County lost, and Dundee United got held. So no real progress.
This is where the beauty of the top six split comes in, because the sides at the bottom will be able to squabble to see who stays up, who goes into the playoff, and who goes down. Dundee United still bottom, 2 points adrift of Ross County, a point further adrift of Kilmarnock. When they all play each other, you would struggle to think two of those teams will manage to get enough points to haul Motherwell or St Johnstone back into it. I think your boys probably have done enough, Gordon, to stay up. I think it will be two from three, and it's up to them to find the goals, find the performances, find the clean sheets to earn another crack at that top flight next season.
At some point, Kenny, you know, we talk about Killy, they've got a very good home record, and they do, but if you then can't, and Andy Considine handball aside, if you can't then win home games like that, if you start dropping points in them whilst you're not winning away, seems like a bit of a recipe for disaster. And again, then Dundee United, you know, certainly steadied the ship for sure, Jim Goodwin, and things are looking more secure in certain ways, but just quite simply, to state the obvious, need to go and start winning some football matches.
Yep, and it's Rangers Hibs next two games, yep. So it's two tough games. So it's going to be 2-3, right? I think Roger's right. Both St Johnstone and Motherwell have probably got enough, because you've just said it. These teams need to win games. These other teams need to lose games. And when you get to that other side of the split, there's going to be teams that win and teams that lost. It's hard to see Motherwell and St Johnstone losing the amount of games they're going to need to, and the other teams win it to actually peg them back. So it's going to be who can put their best foot forward between between Dundee United, Ross County and Kilmarnock in these last nine games, because it does, I mean, Dundee United, again, we keep going back to their players. You know that they've got good players there that have just, but now you're 29 games into a season and they've still not been doing it. They'll be really unlucky because Jim has steadied the ship, but there's still a long winless run that they've been on. They need to turn that around quickly, or they're going to be in big trouble.
At the top of the show, you gave your own pal Stephen Fletcher goal of the weekend. He's going to need to produce a few more of them to keep them in the top
more,
flight.
Yep, yeah. A lot more. And again, Stephen needs service. He needs that type of service. You give him the chance, he'll score the goals. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, all of a sudden, Livy are back in the top six. Roger Hanna, you just can't keep them down.
They had a wee mini dip there. I actually thought Ross County might go to Livingston and get something in the weekend, but typically Livingston, you can never write them off. A couple of goals inside 2 minutes, goal of the weekend from Nicky Devlin. And they're looking good again for that top six. They missed out to your Motherwell boys when Ricky Lamy scored that spectacular, well, it wasn't spectacular goal, but the celebrations were spectacular last season. They might just do enough this season to get in it.
But any decisions in that game? I feel like we've covered off. There was, in fact,
Simon Murray's talking about, well, it turned out to be a consolation goal for Ross County. David Martindale didn't seem too happy, but that was down to the lines and the calibration and a statement of fact, wasn't it? That was an offside call in that game.
I'm trying to think if we missed any. Are we doing anyone a disservice?
I don't think so.
I think we've been round most of them.
There were plenty to go around, so apologies if you have missed one.
You've
it's
done
understandable.
Celtic's penalty for and against. You've done Hibs sending off.
Yes.
What did you think of Todd Cantwell and Callum Slattery?
I don't know. Unless,
oh great,
unless you get slapped in the face by Callum Slattery, and the way he's going at the minute with 11 bookings this season, one of us might well get slapped in the face by Callum Slattery before the season's out. But you don't know how sore it is. You don't know how different people react. I think he's got a bit of a bad rap, Todd Cantwell, in a weekend when Kyle Vassell would quite happily have taken that goal that went in off his hand, and Andy Considine was quite happy not to have a penalty given against him, and only Curtis Main will know how firm the contact from Loic Kaina was. So there are a few this weekend who were playing on the edge.
Right, we've done that. We think we have to accept the offsides. We think, get your protractor out and hold it up against your telly and tell us if you think we're wrong. So that was that.
Glad you didn't ask that question of Gordon Dale.
There was you've done Andy Considine's handball, you've done the Livingston one, you've done St Mirren's penalty. I think you've almost made it, you know. Yep. I think you almost made it.
We've
through
managed
to the
to
end.
Get through 2 hours without actually talking about any good football. You tried your best just after the hour to get turned, but
we nearly did.
Turned quickly back.
Nearly. I don't know what the rest of the week will look. This international week, of course. Anyway, let's finish off on tonight's full time teaser. We're looking for 10 players that have scored league goals against Celtic and Rangers in the same season since 2018-19. So you've given me Ramirez of Aberdeen, Camberry of Hibs at the time, Josh Campbell of Hibs also, Kevin Nisbet of Hibs, Jonah Ayunga of St Mirren, Lewis Ferguson and Sam Cosgrove of Aberdeen.
I want to talk about Dundee United. What about Jamie McGrath?
No, these are pretty tough, the remaining couple, you know.
Brophy?
Yes.
Well done,
Eamon Brophy. Well done, I like that answer.
By the way, was Curtis Main one of them?
He's not, actually. No, he's not.
Osman So?
No, now this guy had a brilliant season. We had a brilliant couple of seasons, actually, but 2018-19, he was in the, how can we put it politely, in the latter stages of his career. But he was much like yourself at times, Kenny Miller. He was defying the predictions that he should have been slowing down or whatever, and had some really good seasons towards the end for Kilmarnock.
Boydie?
No.
Lafferty?
No.
Oh, come on. An older guy. In the Kilmarnock team.
Took great.
Was that the Steve Clark season when they were third?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Burke.
Well,
goodness
done.
Me.
The last one is the hardest by a mile, and I am delighted at the club that he represented.
Oh, there we go.
That gives me satisfaction that you won't get it.
A Motherwell man.
Because it's none of your obvious ones. Don't waste my time with Louis Moult or any of these guys.
So who scored for Motherwell?
He actually was quite a good goal getter, and for some reason he never really lasted, and he came from lower leagues / non-league in
Danny
England.
Johnson.
There you go.
That's why he's paid the big bucks.
Yep.
That's why you get 750 a show in here. Yeah. That's pounds 50, by the way, just before anyone gets the wrong idea. My goodness. Yeah,
particularly my tax man.
There we are, Danny Johnson. Good shout that, Roger Hanna. Well done. Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Kenny Miller. And thank you. Thanks for listening. Thank you for calling. One of those nights where it's referees and VAR that get it in the neck. And that is fine, because we're here for whatever is on your mind. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? Maybe we'll reflect more on the weekend. And maybe we'll start looking ahead, because it is International Week, and I know it doesn't float everyone's boat, but it's a big old week coming up. Kenny Miller once scored against Cyprus, didn't you know? Well, let's see who can do it at the weekend. So thank you again for keeping us company tonight. It is Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale tomorrow, and Callum Gallagher is up next.